Yankee Praise team. We've lost a leg on this pulpit. I promise no pulpit pounding this morning. We're going to see how this goes. Hey, I want you to know, in case you maybe are just tuning in, we will be inside next Sunday, and I've already heard from a couple of you this morning feeling a little anxious about what that will look like to go inside. And I want you to know, we don't want to leave anyone behind. We are the people of God. This is our family, and we will be looking at that every week and trying to figure out whatever creative ways we can to gather together. We need to gather for worship. We need one another. We need people in our lives, and we're committed to figuring that out. And it might be a little exhausting because we're figuring that out every Sunday, week after week. But we are committed to that. So if you're a little anxious about going inside, I want you to know we don't want to leave you behind. But as the weather gets colder, we are concerned about the viability of doing this service out here. Okay, if you got a Bible, we're in Exodus chapter 20 this morning. We're going through the 10 commandments, and each Sunday we're reminding ourselves we're not looking at the 10 commandments as a basis for our salvation. I've said this before, that the Ten Commandments are not a ladder that we climb as if we can maybe take a couple rungs up in hopes of earning salvation. Nor are the Ten Commandments a ladder for us to climb to get just a little higher on that ladder so we could look down on others. Actually, the metaphor that the Bible uses about the law, it's not a ladder, it's a mirror, right? The Ten Commandments, the law is a mirror. It shows us who we are, and in showing us who we are, shows us where we fall short. As we study the Ten Commandments, we see our need for a Savior, and we're driven to Him. So it's a mirror, right? How many of you this morning on your way to church stood in front of a mirror? And you checked, the younger you are, you were checking out your hair. You looked to make sure there was no breakfast caught in your teeth. If you saw some bacon stuck in your teeth, how many of you grabbed that mirror off the wall and immediately began to use it to get the bacon out? Right? That doesn't make sense. That's not what a mirror does. A mirror shows us our need. The law, the Ten Commandments, shows us our need for the gospel, shows us our need for Jesus. So that's why we're studying these Ten Commandments, to show us our need for our Savior, to remind us of how God created us, how God designed us. And we're going to keep that in mind as we study the fourth commandment this morning, to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. So let's pray as we prepare our hearts to hear God's word. And Father, we do come before you as a needy people, knowing that we fall short in so many ways. Your law is perfect, and yet we have fallen short of that. We cling to you, Jesus, and I pray that your gospel would be clearly proclaimed from this pulpit this morning, and that you would do that work, not only in our minds, but in our hearts, to cling to you, to cling to our Savior, to find that gospel rest in you. Touch us this morning where we need to be touched. Lord, I pray for those who are watching at home. Touch them where they need to be touched. Encourage us. Lift up our hearts. Do that work in us, we pray, through the preaching of your word. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Hear God's word. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who's within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Amen. Amen. Of all the Ten Commandments, commandment number 4, most detailed of all the Ten Commandments, longest, right? It's as if at this point God pauses, slows down, gives us even more information, most detailed of the commandments. We could easily make the case that the fourth commandment is the most repeated commandment of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. God constantly reminding his people about the Sabbath. John Calvin's going to make the case that when God raises up the prophets to call out the unrighteousness amongst his people, that they've, in Calvin's words, all religion is overturned. What's he point to? He points to profaning the Sabbath, Ezekiel 20. Most detailed of the commandments, most repeated. We see here that it was most certainly actually in place before Israel arrived at Mount Sinai. In other words, they had an understanding of what the Sabbath was before God gave them this commandment and the Ten Commandments. And actually, we know that all of the law was written on their heart. But notice that this commandment begins with the word remember. Did you notice that? Do you see that in your Bible? It says remember. We see that. If you look back earlier in Exodus, the giving of the manna, remember that? They were supposed to gather that for 6 days, but the seventh day they weren't allowed to do that because it was the Sabbath. This idea of the Sabbath was in place already. So most detailed of the commandments, most repeated, that long-standing. We could add one more, superlative. I believe this commandment is the most misunderstood of all the Ten Commandments, the most misunderstood. We wonder, perhaps you're wondering this morning, does the Sabbath still apply to us today? And what about everything else that the Old Testament has to say about the Sabbath? What about this bit of on the Sabbath, God says in Exodus, you can't make a fire within your house? Well, what about that whole bit about being stoned if you work on the Sabbath? Does that still apply today? So I want to spend just a little bit of time trying to clear up some of the confusion around the Sabbath. We're going to spend just a little bit of time on that, and then we'll get to maybe more the practical section of the sermon. I want to consider four ways we keep the Sabbath day holy. And please notice that it's our call here is to keep it holy. God says here, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We don't make it holy. God has made it holy. Jesus rose from the dead and made the Lord's Day holy. Our job is to keep it holy. So we're going to look at that for most of the sermon, but first want to attempt to clear up some confusion around this commandment. And there's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of reasons I could cite for why we're confused about the Sabbath. I could preach maybe an entire sermon on this, but I want to focus just on one reason. This is maybe the biggest I see as far as why we misunderstand the Sabbath. It's because we fail to understand that there are different kinds of laws in the Old Testament. We fail to understand that there's different kinds of laws in the Old Testament. Now, traditionally, we understand that there are three kinds of laws in the Bible. The first is the moral law. This is probably what we're most familiar with, the moral law. This is binding on all people everywhere. It's written on our hearts. But that's only one kind of law that we see in the Old Testament. Now, what about the sacrifices? What about the purification rituals? What about all those things? That's not part of the moral law. That's part of, do you know it? It's part of the ceremonial law. That's the ceremonial law. And then we have the moral law. We've got the ceremonial law. And finally, we have what's called the civil law or the judicial law. These are the laws given to the nation of Israel, governed by God as to how they were to function. This included some of the punishments. So when it comes to the Sabbath, here's the question. Here's the pop quiz this morning. When it comes to the Sabbath, where does the Sabbath fall? Which category does the Sabbath fall in? Well, let's do a little survey. I don't have anything for you at home, but let's do a little survey, see who's bold enough to participate. Who would say the Sabbath is part of the moral law? Anyone bold enough to raise your hand to say, I think that's part of the moral law? I got a few of you. How many of you would say the Sabbath is part of the ceremonial law? I got a few of you. How many of you say the Sabbath is part of the civil law? No one, but you'd be right if you said that too. You know, it's all three. it was a trick question. It's all three. The Sabbath actually touches on all three. So the moral law, the Sabbath is clearly part of the moral law. The Ten Commandments are is a summary of the moral law. Notice the reason that God gives for the Sabbath is because God created the world in 6 days and on the seventh day rested. It's rooted in creation. There is this creation rhythm. So the Sabbath clearly is part of the moral law. But as well as the Bible Bible goes on, God attaches certain ceremonial laws to that moral, to the moral law of the Sabbath. And this is maybe what we're familiar with. But remember, Christ has fulfilled that on the cross. The ceremonial law has been done away with. That's why we don't sacrifice animals. That's why we don't circumcise babies. So anything that's in that, that ceremonial category does not apply. Martin Luther. Here's a wonderful quote from Martin Luther. I'm giving John Calvin a little break this morning. Luther's a lot more fun, by the way, to read than Calvin. Here's what Luther says if we were to celebrate the Sabbath in a ceremonial way. He says, if anywhere the Sabbath day is made holy for the mere day's sake, if anyone sets up its observance on a Jewish foundation, that's a ceremonial foundation, then I order you to work on it. To ride on it, to dance on it, to feast on it, to do anything that shall remove this encroachment on Christian liberty. All right, do you get what he's saying? So in as much as we celebrate the Sabbath as part of the ceremonial law in the Old Testament, that has no place for us. And then, of course, the civil law. You'll be happy to know you won't be stoned if you break the Sabbath. Children will be happy to know you won't be stoned if you disobey your parents. That's also part of the civil law that has the nation of Israel has expired. So does the Sabbath still apply to us today? Yes. Yes, in as much as the Sabbath is rooted in the moral law. You hear me? In as much as the Sabbath is rooted in the moral law, it applies to us today. It's rooted in creation. 6 days, God created the world. On the seventh day, he rested. This is the creation rhythm that still applies to us today. Jesus, as Jesus does, fills out our understanding of the Sabbath. Remember, Jesus calls himself the Lord of the Sabbath. He tells us Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. This day, Sunday, is meant to be a day of blessing. It's meant to be a day of worship. It's a day of rest. It's not meant to be a day of drudgery. It's not meant to be a day of legalism. It's a day for us to be restored and recreated. One day in seven. That's the gift for us. Hebrews 4:9 tells us there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. What we learn by that is this one day in seven is kind of a picture for us of heaven, of that Sabbath rest that yet remains. You know, we've had three people in our congregation in the past month and a half enter into that Sabbath rest. On these days, we look forward to that eternal rest that we have as well. So as we look at the fourth commandment, to remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy, we remind ourselves, yes, this still applies for us today. Yes, Jesus has transformed it, but as with all of the other Ten Commandments, this is still relevant for us today. So I want to lay out some principles for how we might keep the Sabbath day holy. Some of you want a list. You want me to tell you, should you go and watch the Eagles game at 1 p.m. or not? Can I cut the grass today or not? Can I wash the dishes today or not? I don't have a list for you. What I have for you are four principles for us to apply to our lives to keep this day holy. So let's jump into the body of the sermon then. Principle number one, give it to you in one word. It's the word stop. Stop. Like my mother always used to tell me as a kid, stop. Stop. The word Sabbath itself comes from the Hebrew word that means, what do you think? Stop. It means stop or to cease. So principle number one is stop. Stop what you're doing. Stop your work. Stop your labor. Cease from your toil. Remember at the end of the day, school kids, when the bell used to ring? I have fond memories of that as a student, maybe more so as a teacher, actually. The bell rang, and what did that mean? The day was over. We're done. It's complete. Stop. That's what the Sabbath means. Stop. Now, of course, the assumption here is that you were previously working. You were previously laboring. Notice that this command here to stop what you're doing on the Sabbath is also a command to work. To work for 6 days. To pour yourself out for 6 days out of seven. That's supposed to be the rhythm of our life. That's the creation rhythm that God created for us. 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. It's an interesting observation. I won't take this too far, but it's an interesting observation that under the Old Testament, you had 6 days of work, and that on the seventh day, you rested. But then Jesus rose from the dead on the first day. The Sabbath becomes the Lord's day, and as Christians, we don't rest on the final day. We rest on the first day. We begin from a position of rest, and then we go and work. That's interesting. That's interesting. And I think the challenge for us, the challenge for me at least, do I trust Jesus enough to be able to stop? Do I trust Jesus enough to be able to lay aside my work? And I'll be honest with you. Early on in this pandemic, and actually for quite some time, I really struggled to keep a Sabbath rhythm in my life. Everything just went out the window. I kept telling myself week after week, you know, the donkey's in the ditch. The donkey's in the ditch. We just got to get the donkey out. My wife's smiling right now because I probably told her that week after week. I just got to keep going. I just got to keep going. And the deeper question is this. Do I trust Jesus enough to stop my work? Do I trust him enough to lay it aside? I know how to work. Many of us know how to work, but do we know how to rest? Do we know how to stop? The Sabbath reminds us that God has given us limits. We think that we can be all-knowing. We think that we can be present everywhere. We think that we can do everything. The Sabbath commands us to stop. We're reminded that Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped. Remember that scene, I believe it's Mark chapter 2. Jesus gets up early in the morning. He goes out to pray. His disciples nearly lose their mind. They say, well, Jesus, what are you doing? Well, there's a lot of work to do. See, Jesus didn't allow the demands of those around him to dominate him. He stopped. So principle number one is stop. Do you, church, do you trust Jesus enough to stop, to lay aside your work? Principle number two, rest. Rest. Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, and he rested on the seventh day. The Sabbath calls us not just to stop, but to rest. How many of you know that there's a difference between rest and restoration? How many of you know that not all rest ends in restoration? Not all rest leads to restoration. See, we can easily lay aside our work. We can be physically at rest, but I find my mind still going. My spirit is still troubled. We can stop doing our work. We can press pause on that, but often we just veg behind our screens. We're not participating in that kind of rest that actually leads to restoration. Remember what we've been saying each Sunday. The Ten Commandments are a reflection of the nature of God. Because we're made in the image of God, this is a reflection of us. This is how God created us to be. The Sabbath is how God designed us. That's the rhythm that God has made for us. We've had a lot of noisy distractions this morning. The Sabbath weekly rhythm is a rhythm that God has designed for us. I used to be a science teacher. Let's do a little quiz. How do you know how long a year is? A year is how long the earth takes to go around the sun, right? How do you know how long a month is? That's how long it takes the moon to go around the earth. How long is a day? That's how long it takes for the earth to spin on its axis. All of these ways that we mark time are given to us in physical creation. How do we know how long a week is? The weekly rhythm is found universally around the world, Eastern culture, Western culture, wherever. How do you know how long that is? There's nothing in the stars. There's nothing in the sun. That's what God has given us. That's the rhythm that's rooted in creation. 1929, Joseph Stalin and Soviet Union attempted to do away with this weekly rhythm, tried to get rid of the seven-day week. He introduced what was called the continuous work week. It lasted 7 years, 7 long, miserable years, and by almost all accounts, it was a miserable failure. Why? Because we are designed by God, rooted in who we are, to work for 6 days and to rest for 1 day. You know, our modern age presents itself with a unique set of challenges, doesn't it? Some of us right now are living in that continuous week that you're always on, always on. The Sabbath gives us that space to stop and to rest. Do you rest? Do you rest on Sunday in a way that actually leads to restoration? Is the rest that you're participating in rest that leads to restoration? Okay, so stop, rest. Number three, worship. Worship. We need to understand that the Sabbath is not just a day of rest. It's a day of worship. As a general rule, my children are not going to like me right now. As a general rule, we lay aside screens in our home on a Sunday, just generally speaking. And from time to time, my children object. They say, you know, but I'm resting. This is very restful for me. And that's true. That might be very restful. I'm not against screens. Don't implement this in your house unless you prayed through that. But see, Sabbath isn't just a day of rest. Sabbath is also a day of worship. It's not just a day of rest, it's a day of worship. Verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Sunday is to be a day of worship. Worship is about relationship. We are to worship. There's two kinds of worship that we ought to participate in on the Sabbath. The first is probably what we're most familiar with. This is called public worship. That's what we're doing here this morning when we gather together. And yes, COVID's been challenging. Sometimes we gather together in the same space. If we can't gather in the same space, at least we're gathering at the same time together. This should be a priority. If I could speak to the men who are here, the husbands, to the leaders of the household right now, can I ask you, is public worship a priority in your house? Have you communicated that to your children? Know that that's a priority. Is coming together with God's people a priority over over the soccer game that's scheduled on Sunday morning? This needs to be a priority for us. That's what the Sabbath is about. So it's public worship, but secondly, it's private worship as well. Sunday's meant to be a day of private, personal worship. Read your Bible. Go for a walk. Pray. Fellowship with other believers, right? It's this is our opportunity to lay aside other things which aren't bad in themselves, to do those things that we say one day we're going to get around to doing, but we get to do that on Sunday. And again, this is not meant to be a burden. The Sabbath is meant to be a delight for us. What would it look like? What would it look like for you to make Sabbath a day of worship? Okay, so stop, rest, worship, and finally, principle number four, remember. Remember. You know, we're going to come up short. As with all of the Ten Commandments, we're going to come up short. Remember the Ten Commandments, the law, it's like a mirror. It shows us where we fall short. When we introduce these spiritual rhythms into our life, we're reminded of how unspiritual we are. I'm reminded of that every time I try to set aside a large chunk of time to pray, and my mind wanders, and I'm reminded of my own, the flesh that I carry around. So principle number four is remember. Remember the gospel. Remember that this is not the basis of our salvation. The real rest that we need on the Sabbath, and really every day, is to rest in the finished work of Christ, to rest in the gospel. That's what the Sabbath is about. That's what we need. Can you hear Jesus' invitation to you this morning? Matthew chapter 11, he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." Wow, that's the Sabbath principle we hold on to. Remember to rest in Christ. Let's pray and invite the praise team up to do our closing song. And Father, we thank you for the gift that Sabbath is. Lord, I'll pray that you would you'd forgive just my cold heart with the Sabbath and the legalism and the things that we can introduce into this day that are just more about ourselves, more about earning our righteousness than being restored in you and worshiping you. And Lord, I pray that particularly in the midst of this pandemic and the rhythms of our life just thrown upside down, that you would give us wisdom, that you would show us how we might have that Sabbath rhythm of pouring ourselves out for 6 days, but laying it aside, trusting you enough with it to rest in you on that Sabbath day. And so would you do that? Give us a taste of that even today, I pray. Wherever we need to be moved along in that area, Lord, would you move us along and keep us clinging to you, clinging to your gospel. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.